We greet our friends everywhere with Chapter 32 of Perilous Journey, the story of John Bunyan. Today featuring the fifth episode in his Pilgrim's Progress. This is another in the series Stories of Great Christians. It comes to you from the radio studios of the Moody Bible Institute in Chicago. When John Bunyan wrote Pilgrim's Progress, he did it in his spare time. That is, when he became tired of working on his more serious writings. He had no way of knowing that this book was to become one of the classics of English literature. In fact, John was so doubtful as to the value of Pilgrim's Progress that after its completion, he tested its worth by reading it aloud to two of his fellow prisoners in Bedford Jail. They, like John, were Puritans with strong ideas about almost anything that touched on the subject of religion. They enjoyed their roles of literary critics. Did I come too early, John?
What? Oh, Thomas. No, no. I suppose I waste time trying to see the street corner from this window. Why do they make cell windows so small?
Perhaps so a man cannot climb out?
This slit in the wall could be 5 times as big and still not let in enough light to read by.
Enough for us to read by, though, eh, John?
Hello, Matthias. Well, you're both here. Let's see where I put that manuscript.
Any word about your release, John? I noticed that Elizabeth was here yesterday.
No word. But Sarah's sick. And Elizabeth is worried about the child.
What ails her, John?
Some fever.
Oh, don't be disheartened. It may be gone tomorrow.
Or Sarah may be. And here I am.
You've been long at prayer. I saw you early this morning. The child is in our Savior's care.
Yes.
We all knew what it would mean to be taken from our families and committed to this prison. And God knows, John. He hasn't forgotten you or your little one.
I know. Well, let's begin reading again.
We left Christian at the Palace Beautiful, where he was resting for the night.
Yes, he had many blessings talking to the good people of the house.
But I must say I have come to very few Palace Beautifuls in my life as a Christian. Having Christian rest like that, I don't think it's realistic.
What about the blessings of fellowship that believers experience together?
Well, there is that.
And Thomas, the journey is not always the very same for every Christian. My book tells only one.
Of course. Do begin, John.
So in the morning, they all got up and told him that he should not depart until they had showed him some of the rarities of the place. At first, they had him go into the study where they showed him records of the greatest antiquity. The first pedigree of the Lord of the Hill, that he was the son of the Ancient of Days and came by an eternal generation. Here also, more fully recorded, were the acts that he'd done and worthy acts that his servants had done. The next day, they showed him the armory and all that the Lord had provided for pilgrims, sword, shield, helmet, breastplate, all prayer, and shoes that would never wear out. They also showed Christian mementos with which some of the Lord's servants had done wonderful things. Moses' rod, Samson's jawbone of an ass, David's sling, and his sword, and many other things. And then they took him outside on the palace roof and showed him the Delectable Mountains.
It's good that it is such a clear day, Christian. You can see so well.
Now look, far off over there.
It's beautiful.
You are looking at the Delectable Mountains.
The country is beautiful. The forests, vineyards.
I love the flowers, you can see.
And the springs and fountains. See them?
Yes. What is the name of this country?
It is Emmanuel's land, and you will come to it just as you came to this palace. It is for pilgrims, and when you get there, you'll meet shepherds who will show you the very gates of the celestial city.
Let me start out now.
Oh, first you must come back to the armory. We want to fit you out for your journey. You have a helmet, breastplate, a sword. Farewell, Christian.
Godspeed.
Farewell.
Farewell.
Farewell, Christian. I trust you had a pleasant stay.
Oh, Porter. Yes, I did. I wanted to ask you, have any other pilgrims passed by since I've been inside?
Yes, sir, one did. And not long ago, but he didn't stop because it was so early in the morning. He was eager to be on. He said his name was Faithful.
I know him. He is from my town and was a near neighbor of mine. How far ahead of me do you think he is?
I would say by this time he is at the bottom of the hill. You'll find it difficult going.
It was hard enough to climb up this hill. I thought the journey down would be easier.
It is hard to go down to the Valley of Humiliation. That's where you're going.
The kind ladies of the palace gave me armor and a loaf of bread, a bottle of wine, some raisins. I shall be refreshed.
Then I will bid you farewell, and Godspeed as well.
Thank you for all your kindness. Farewell. It's quick enough to get down the hill into the valley, but it's hard going. I can hardly keep from falling. This seems better. I've come to the bottom of the hill, at least. But this Valley of Humiliation, as the porter called it, is a fearful place. Oh, it's a monster. He has wings like a dragon, a body covered with fish scales. His mouth is like a lion's, and out of his belly come fire and smoke. What should I do? Perhaps I should go back, but I have no armor on my back, and his darts would kill me in a minute if I turn. I'd better just stand still and see what he does. He's coming toward me. I'm from the city of destruction, and I'm going to the city of Zion.
From the city of destruction? Then you are one of my subjects. All that country is mine. I am the prince and god of it. And why are you running away from your prince? I would kill you now if it weren't that you might yet be able to serve me.
I was born in your dominion, but serving you was hard. And I knew I could not live by your wages, for you pay in death. I'm trying to better my condition.
No prince just gives up his subjects. Since you do not like serving me for wages, go back, and I will give you the best of all that I have.
But I have given myself to another. To the king of princes. And how can I go with you?
You know the proverb, changed a bad for a worse. Well, that's what you've done. But never mind. It often happens that those who have promised themselves to him, that is, the king of princes, as you call him, well, they give him the slip and return to me. You do the same and all will be well.
I have given him my faith and sworn allegiance unto him. How can I betray him and not be hanged as a traitor?
You betrayed me, yet I'm willing to forget it all if you return to me.
When I began to serve you, I was a child and did not understand what that service meant. And the King of Kings is able to forgive me for the time I belonged to you. And, dreadful Apollyon, I like his service, his wages, his servants, his company, his country better than yours. So do not try to dissuade me anymore. I am his servant, and I will follow him.
Think for a moment about what you are going to run into. You already know that often his servants come to a bad end because they fight against me. Many have been put to shameful deaths, and you know that he never comes to deliver any who serve him. It is common knowledge that I deliver those who serve me from him.
My lord does not deliver his servants from ill because he wants to try their love and find out if they will serve him unto the end. And as for the terrible death some meet, that is all to their credit. And they shall have their reward when the king comes in his glory.
You've already been unfaithful to him. What reward do you think you'll get?
How have I been unfaithful?
You almost gave up as soon as you started when you got to the Slough of Despond. You tried in every way to get rid of your burden instead of waiting in peace until the prince took it off. You slept in the garden on the way up the Hill of Difficulty and lost your parchment roll. You almost turned around and ran when you saw the lions at the gate of the Palace Beautiful, even though they were chained. And worst of all, when you talk about your journey to others, you are secretly looking for praise all the time.
All this is true, and a lot more that you've left out. But my prince is merciful and forgiving, and all the sins you listed began in your country, for I became burdened with them there, and have groaned under them ever since. But I am sorry for them, and my prince has forgiven me.
Oh, I am the enemy of your prince. I hate him, I hate his people, I hate his laws. And I tell you, Christian, I have come out on purpose to destroy you.
Be careful what you do, devil, for I am in the king's highway, the way of holiness, so watch out for yourself.
I have no fear of you. Prepare to die. I swear by my infernal den that you will go no further. Here I will spill your soul.
Throw your dart. I have my sword. The Lord is my shield and buckler. I am wounded.
Blood for your head. Now see how you hold your sword with a bleeding hand.
Oh, my hand.
And now your foot.
Oh, I can still fight you, Apollyon. But you won't come near my sword, will you? You have to stand back and throw your evil darts at me.
And I can keep throwing them. All day, if you like. Until death cures you of your wounds.
I have so many wounds, I have to rest. I can't hold my sword.
You dropped your sword. That's what I've been waiting for. And now to make an end of you.
You're joking me. I must get my sword. Now. We are more than conquerors through him that loved us.
I'm wounded. I'm wounded.
So when the battle was over, Christian said, "Here will I give thanks to him that hath delivered me from the mouth of the lion, and to him that did help me against Apollyon." Then there came a hand with some of the leaves of the tree of life, the which Christian took and applied to the wounds which he had received, and he was healed immediately.
You've heard Chapter 32 of Perilous Journey, the story of John Bunyan, featuring today the fifth episode of his Pilgrim's Progress. This is another in the series Stories of Great Christians. It comes to you from the radio studios of the Moody Bible Institute of Chicago.